You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, I want to talk to you today about something that's a little heavy, but I believe it's so on time that we just absolutely have to talk about it today. I believe God wants to set his church free. And oftentimes the enemy wants us to operate underneath the curse. So I want to talk today about breaking the curse. Say it with me, breaking the curse. Breaking the curse. And please don't get scared. Don't get funny with me right now. I'm just talking about those obstacles that the enemy puts in your way. God wants to break those things. God wants to break the curse. And when I say breaking the curse, you know, many times it can be more than one curses that are trying to be activated in your life or that are functioning in your life. But God wants to break those things. So I want to go on this journey today. And if we can I have my apple? Can I have my apple? There, I'm sorry, I lost it. No, not my iPad. I want to talk about where this started in the garden with sin and fall. In the beginning, there was sin and there was a fall, right? Things were perfect. Things were beautiful. Things were happening great. Amen? Are you following me so far? Adam and Eve were in paradise and then something happened, right? Something happened. They ate of the fruit. There was a sin, there was a falling of man, and then a journey began to get back what was lost. A journey began to break a curse, to break curses that enter our world through sins. And here's the thing, the enemy wants us to sin. The enemy wants sin to enter into our lives because if sin enters into our lives, then he can introduce a curse. And then even when we don't realize it, we can be operating underneath a curse that is delaying our blessing. The blessing is there, but the curse is the blockade, blocking us. And maybe some of you are sitting here saying, I've been promised something. I received the word of prophecy. Right. I know in my heart that God said this. Right. I know in my spirit that this is my destiny. But it's been delayed. And then it's been delayed again. Then it's been delayed again. And then I thought it was coming and it was delayed again. I want to talk to you today about breaking the curse that's standing in the way of your blessing. Breaking, so it started with this, a sin that brought about, that allowed a curse to enter into. Can we go a little farther? Yes. Sinning creates problems. Turn to somebody and say, sinning creates problems. And I know that's elementary, but it's the truth. Sinning creates problems. It opens up the door for other things to enter into our life that don't belong there. When we sin, it allows the spirit world, the negative part of the spirit world, the demonic part of the spirit world to begin to slip some stuff into our lives that doesn't belong there. Come on, say it with me, breaking the curse. Let's go to Genesis 3 real quick because I want to show you about the first curse or the first set of curses that entered into the world. Okay, you have a perfect paradise. You have sinless Adam and sinless Eve, and then a sin happens, and then this is what happens with the curse that enters in Genesis 3:14. Then the Lord says to the serpent, he first addresses the serpent, and then he addresses the woman, then he addresses the man. He says to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed. Talking about the sin, right? Because of the sin that happened, you are cursed. You are cursed. More than any other animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man he said, no, y'all aren't supposed to get excited about this, men. It's not a good thing. Let's get back on track here. I will sharpen the pain of pregnancy and the pain in giving birth. Since you've listened to your wife and ate from the tree, the tree that I commanded you not to eat, he's talking to the man now, the ground is cursed because of you. All of your life you'll struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles. Listen, some of you not even aware of the curses that are going on in your life that God wants to break off of you. It will grow thorns and thistles for you. Though you will eat of its grains, by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So sin begins to bring these curses into our lives. Let's just to name a few from the passage above. Some of the animals will become hostile, right? Now before, that hostility didn't exist. Some animals become hostile. Pain enters the world, all right? Trying to control one another. Now, man and wife are trying to control each other. We find each other, we're trying to control each other. We're trying to get one up on each other. There's this thing that didn't exist. That's a curse that's in place. Struggling with your work and career, trying to scratch a living. That's a curse. That's right. Come on, somebody needs to hear this today. That's a curse that needs to be broken. Sickness. He says, from dust to dust you'll return. Death. Sickness and death enters in at this point. There's many things that really transpire right there in Genesis 3. So first, the sin brings many problems into the world. I want you to imagine now generations and generations of mankind sinning in different ways, bringing about different type of curses on themselves and on their family. You see, Adam didn't just bring this curse on himself. He brought this curse on his family. And we're all Adam's family. And so we have to become aware of how to break these curses. Amen? Anybody want to be aware? So as different sins have come about, it brings different types of curses into our lives. And with those curses come their enforcers. This is what the demonic realm does. They come to enforce the curse, make sure that the curse is applied, right? They're going to hold you to the letter of the law of the curse that's been in place. They make sure that that thing is upheld. And their job is to put people in bondage and binding them from the freedom that God wants, right? To kill, steal, and to destroy. And so there are all these types of things. But the good news and the news that I want to talk about that's exciting is Jesus came to break not one, not two, not three. He came to break every curse. Every curse. Jesus came to break every curse. Now, God wants to break us free of anything that's holding us back from the destiny. We've been talking this year about manifested destiny, haven't we? And I've seen some people get breakthroughs, and some people have gotten more breakthroughs than others. Some people haven't gotten any breakthroughs, and you're saying, well, was that really a true word, that this is the year of manifested destiny? Absolutely, it's the word, and it's still the word for each and every one of us. But we have to address the curse that the enemy has put in play in our lives. And oftentimes that we put in play by the sins that we have done and oftentimes haven't really realized, haven't repented of. Let's get to that. So I've entitled this Breaking the Curse. Somebody say it with me. Breaking the Curse. You know, as Christians, I'm not giving you something to be afraid of. I'm giving you something to be aware of. In the garden, man sinned, curses entered. We need to address these curses. The battle is over your freedom. Put your finger on your chest and say, my freedom. My freedom. My freedom. Jesus wants you to have that freedom God wants you to have that freedom, and we need to walk into that freedom. But first, you have to see it. You have to have the revelation that something's going on. Something's not right here. I've noticed I've been promised something, and I haven't received it. Something's going on here. That's the first thing. The first thing is the revelation that something is not right. Because if you have no awareness that you're in a fight, you'll end up losing that fight. And I've seen so many people that spend their lifetime fighting a fight that they never completely win. They're believers, yes, they go to heaven, yes, but they're fighting a fight in many areas that they never win. Because they could be a great person, they could be a great Christian, but they're not aware of what they're fighting. And so they're at an incredible disadvantage. I want you to imagine right now a champion fighter. Maybe it's somebody, I know UFC is big right now. Imagine the UFC champion. And he is going to enter into a fight. Can I have my blindfold? But here's when the game changes is now somebody that he's beaten easily before is in the ring with him, but he's blindfolded. He's not aware of where he's going. He's now has to be a little bit tentative about things. And it's easy to lose if you don't know, your eyes are closed, you're not seeing everything for what it is. You're going to lose the battle over and over again. You're going to get beat up. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have pain that you wouldn't normally have if you have your eyes closed. If you have the blindfold on, if you have your blinders on, you're going to miss it. So even somebody that has the power, look at somebody and say, you have the power. If you got the Holy Spirit, the power, unlimited, the power, resurrection power, the power to bring dead things back to life is inside of you. But if you don't know what you're fighting, and you're fighting in ignorance, what did I say last night, Ms. D? I said, the greatest advantage that the enemy has over us is when Christians live in ignorance. When we don't know what we're fighting. We don't know exactly what we're up against. The enemy has strategies. But once you understand the enemy's playbook, beating him gets a lot easier. With every new strategy that you learn about, you become a better fighter. You get better at winning. Turn to somebody and say, don't fight blindfolded. King Solomon prayed this prayer in 1 Kings 3:9. Love this. He had just taken over the kingdom, and he said, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon was basically saying, God, give me a revelation of how to deal with people and how to govern from the position that you've given me. That's the prayer that we need to be praying. God, give me the wisdom. Give me the revelation to be able to govern the place of authority that you've given me. Each and every person in here, God created you to be a leader. Each and every person, God has given you a place of authority. But you need to pray and ask God for revelation on how to govern that position of authority. Come on, hear me now. So Solomon was a smart man. He prayed this prayer. And Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. If we look at the strategies of the enemy, they're not new strategies. They're different on the surface. They might deal with different people over here or different people over there, but it's the same game plan. It's the same set, same playbook. So just as Solomon was saying, there's nothing new under the sun. The enemy's attacks are the same tactics that he's used for millennia. It may be different on the on the surface, but it's the same thing. As a pastor, I get the joy to work with a lot of different people. But one of the heartbreaking things is when I see people, different people, making the same mistakes over and over because they don't see the strategy that the enemy is employing behind the scenes. This group of people, they make the mistake, and then I see these groups. You made the same mistake that these guys made over here. This group over here, now you're making the same mistake that they made, and there's patterns there's ways that the enemy works that we have to become aware, or else we're going to be standing like we're in slow motion, saying, oh, while the enemy is doing something. This is one of the greatest things that we have to understand. The enemy is limited. Sometimes when you got Goliath staring at you, it's easy to forget that the enemy is limited. His power is not limitless. He's not omnipresent like God. He can't be in more than one place at the same time. He doesn't know everything. He's not omniscient, right? He's limited. The enemy is limited. God is unlimited. We serve a God without limits. You were just singing about that. He's the God of miracles. He's unlimited. The God that brings the dead to life. He's that same power is inside of us. And so when we know the enemy's limitations, all you have to do is exceed his limitations. If you know what he's capable of, just hold out longer than he's capable of holding out. You see, if you understand the limitations of your opponent, it's easy to beat them. I was talking last night in prayer about how there was David and there was Goliath. And some people, some historians believe that Goliath was, like many people that were extremely tall, was suffering from giantism. And so that comes with many things, sometimes tumors that it obstructs your vision. And by some of the dialogue there, it seems that his vision was not very good. And it seems like his armor bearer was leading him into the valley. So even though he was very strong, he looked very ferocious, David was able to, at long range, his ability was the perfect advantage over his opponent. You see, Goliath looked more fierce than he actually was if you had the strategy of the Lord. The strategy of the Lord was not hand-to-hand combat. The strategy of the Lord was long-range missile. Because the men of Judah and the men of Benjamin were known to be expert marksmen with a slingshot. David was a sniper. He never intended to put the armor on and take a sword up. He said, I'm going to get this guy before I even get down into the valley. I'm going to hit him. If we know the strategy and the revelation of God, that's the problem. We don't need to come into our life not knowing the strategy. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that word bread, it also translates as the fresh revelation of God. The problem is oftentimes we're going into fights, we're going into our day, we're going into our problems, not having the fresh revelation that will cause us to win. You see, aren't you glad that David had the revelation of five smooth stones and he didn't try to put on Saul's armor and go in hand-to-hand combat? See, that was the natural thinking. The natural thinking was hand-to-hand combat. The devil is afraid. I want to tell you, I give you this revelation. The devil is afraid of tenacious people. If you can just hold out longer than he's able to hold out, you see, because he's limited. If you can just press a little harder than he's willing to fight you, you're going to win. Here's the thing. The enemy's best strategy is for you to give up. Because he knows if you keep on fighting with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're going to win. But you don't just need power. You need revelation. You don't just need to continue to fight. You need to continue to seek God for the strategy to fight. Listen, the Holy Spirit is also it's supposed to lead us into, what does the Bible say? All truth. So that can be the problem sometimes, is we're fighting that same thing year after year. We keep on praying. We keep on pushing. But we haven't kept on seeking God for a fresh revelation that can change the game just like David and Goliath. Fundamentally changed. You realize that Goliath stood no chance against a marksman at long range. Even if he had normal eyesight, an expert marksman with 5 shots, it's over. It's over. The devil is afraid of tenacious people. Listen, I believe there's some areas, because the enemy wants to tempt us to sin. And then when we sin, he wants to enter in with a curse. He wants to set up shop in our life. And he's an extremely horrible house guest. He's going to rip up your furniture. He's going to argue with you all the time. He's going to manipulate you. He's going to mess stuff up. He's going to guilt trip you. And he's going to tempt you into other stuff that you would, on a normal basis, not even consider. I believe there's some areas that the Holy Spirit would like to show us that the enemy may have an open door and may be making a mess in our lives. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." I believe the way that we need to end this service is to take the power, the God-given power that he gave us, with our words and pronounce a declaration. Tell the enemy if he's messing around in your life where he can go. Is anybody there with me today? The Holy Spirit wants to shine a light on the mess the devil is making in your life and help kick him out. Is that all right? Will you stand up on your feet with me? This is the place I believe the Lord has taken us. To freedom. To freedom. To the manifestation of our destiny. We talked about God manifesting every promise. And you know what? I'm done with delay. I'm fed up with it. I'm not about doing that anymore. You know what I'm about? I'm about the spirit of now. Is anybody there? You're tired of delay? You're ready for the spirit of now. The spirit of now. When I was praying this week, this just dropped into my heart, into my mind. And God said, it's about taking what belongs to you right now. The enemy wants to create reasons in your mind that it needs to be next month, that it needs to be next year, that it needs to be 5 years from now. But I want to tell you, if we truly serve the God of the impossible, you're not serving some other concept or construct of God, but you're serving the God of the impossible, then your destiny is now. The manifestation of your destiny is now. Come on, somebody say it with me. No more delay. Will you pray? Will you close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? And say it. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love. Shine a light on the enemy's plans against me. Show me any open door he may be using to enter my life. Show me sins I need to repent of. Now, if the Holy Spirit shows you anything, just say, God, I repent of this. God, I'm sorry. If he shows something, if he brings something to your mind right now, just repent of that. Just say, God, cleanse me. I apply the finished work of Jesus Christ to my life. I repent of this. I repent of that. Just take this moment. Just take this moment with your eyes closed and just close those. Just slam those doors shut. Those are the doors that the enemy sometimes just sneaks in and out of our lives. Now, if the Holy Spirit begins to show you any type of spirit that might be trying to activate, might have attached to a sin that you committed, any type of spirit that maybe it's a spirit of pride, maybe it's a spirit of lust, maybe it's another spirit, maybe it's a spirit of depression, maybe it's a spirit of conflict or bickering. Maybe it's a spirit of division. Maybe it's a spirit that breaks up relationships. the Holy Spirit shows you that, just say, in the name of Jesus. Say whatever spirit that it is. Say, you got to go in the name of Jesus. Don't ever come back. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Whatever thing that the Holy Spirit brings to you, don't get in a rush. If the Holy Spirit brings something to you, just bind it up. You have the power in your words to tell that spirit to leave you and to never come back. Now, you can open your eyes for a second right now. There's five areas. There's five areas in particular that I just want to pray against right now. I've seen them very prevalent in our culture today. And I just want to bind these five spirits. Is that all right? Will you allow me to do that today? And this might, one of these might not be an effect in your life. One of these might be an effect in your life. But we're going to bind these things right now. First, just say this with me. Jesus, I repent of any unrighteousness. I repent of any sin that I knowingly committed or that I unknowingly committed. I repent of any sins that my family has committed that might be held against me. I apply the work of Jesus to my life. And we cast out any spirits of rebellion, of the occult, of lust, of addiction, and of an infirmity. In the name of Jesus, leave and never come back. Leave and never come back. We bind you up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now let me tell you this real quick, and then we're just going to give the Lord the praise. It's very important in the good fight that we're fighting, in our prayer time, that we allow a moment for the Holy Spirit to drop things into our heart. If there's something we need to repent of, and there's something that we need to bind up. Because I want to tell you, the enemy is seeking to devour. He gets up every day and thinks about how he can put a curse on you. How you can he can tempt you into sinning so he can put other curses on you. It's very important. Jesus said, watch and pray. So every morning we say, God, is there something that I need to repent of so I can have better fellowship with you? Is there any spirits that have tried to connect themselves with me? All right, doesn't have to be full on possession. You don't have to be doing the exorcist to have a spirit. I say, is there any spirit that's trying to connect itself to me? Holy Spirit, show me. And then you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you to bind it and tell it never to come back. I want the people of God to be free to walk into what God promised you. To walk into those prophecies. How many know that a majority of the promises you have to contend for? There's a very small minority of prophecies when you get that word of prophecy that it's going to happen. Whatever you do or you don't do, it's going to happen. Majority of the prophecies, you have to pray. You have to, every day you get up and say, God, you said this. I'm standing on your promise. I'm standing on these prophetic words that you are going to do these things and it is going to come to pass. Because there's other forces at work. They want to prophesy a different future to you. They want to hold back your prophecy. They want to hold back your blessing. So it's so important that we fight. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready to fight. This is my season. This is my season. All right, let me pray and let me close this out. Father, I thank you, Lord. God, that you would touch your people. God, let them fight. Let this be their season. Not a season of complacency. Not a season of being held back or being delayed, but God, let this be their season of manifestation of destiny. God, let this be their season of now, that they walk into their blessing now, that they walk into their promise now, that they walk into what's been prophesied over them now. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. No matter what the problems that are they're up against, no matter what the difficulties they're facing, no matter what's come against them, no matter what giants are in their life, God, I speak the word now into their life. I speak the word now into their life. I speak the word now into their life, that no delay has a place in their life. I break delay in their life. I break delay over their finances. I break delay over their families. I break delay over relationships. And I release the spirit of now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give God the praise.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.